Hello, hello. How's everyone doing out there? Paz and Chad, that's right. Every Sunday night, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, we talk to absolutely poor, poor people that don't have any money, but they can chime in and have a say in what happens on the program, or at least get a taste of what actually, you know, not being a peasant is like. You know, live vicariously through me. Today, what we're going to talk about is recapping the 18 manifold install on the Gen 1 Mustang. That project is progressing exactly like I wanted it to progress, meaning very slow, incremental, data heavy mods so that nobody can then skew the numbers. A lot of people with PMAS tests or cold air tests, they open the hood, they skew the numbers and tell you that their product is better. Since I'm not for sale, I can give you a very unscientific, but the way you would vet the product yourself on the road, I just happen to have access to the tuning. So hopefully by showing you the data logs, showing you the carefully chosen mods based on experience that I know should work, this little project is going to be a nice little blueprint for somebody that wants to mod it lightly and then eventually go maybe 11s NA. I think this car is going to go 11s NA quite easily. I'm still the torque converter, drive shaft, drag pack, and a couple of other things away from being, I want to say full bolt on NA, and then bam, shove a Roush blower right on it. And there's going to be a reason that the Roush blower is going to be prevalent. I know a lot of people wonder why I don't get a VMP Gen 2R. Jake from Power by the Hour reminded me why it's crucial to get a Roush 2.3 in there, and he made a ton of sense. And I also did a whole bunch of stuff. I finally got the motor from the for the Fairmont from Jake's. It's here. I got video of me picking it up and showing you the overall strategy of getting that car built. It's getting picked up tomorrow. It'll be here on the weekend, more than likely, probably Saturday. Here go the fucking allergies. Holy, why is it right when I get on, allergies start to be an asshole? We'll talk about that. We'll also talk about Ford losing $100,000 each EV. And we'll do the math as to how that works. But not before we talk to the people here. Not before Mr. Bill O'Reilly says hello to the people here. My goodness, I'm all out of sorts.
We'll do it live.
Okay.
Well, no. We'll do it live. Fuck it. Do it live. I'll write it and we'll do it live. Fucking thing sucks.
It does suck. He didn't have performance. You can get a hold of them on a freaking Sunday and get some parts. They reply. They're great people. I love them very much. Parts.com. Any used part, you name it, they have it, guys. They have complete pullouts because I don't. Motors, crank pallets, transmissions, deck lids, wheels, tires, complete interiors, steering wheel dashes, you name it. They will ship it to your shit. ThePartsFarm.com. Peanuts, Nick James and Peanuts is going to test a bunch of cold air intakes up against his because a lot of people want to sell cold air intakes and try to use Lund as the verifying check. We'll talk about that. Calimer Transmission said he's going to get the Corvette wrapped up early next week. Maybe we can go ahead and get that sucker down here this weekend. Also, Bella! Daniel Barato! Selling the best wheels that drug dealers like to show off on their R8 and their Lambo. Two Auto Solution, Rami Zanon. Two Auto Solution, MFP of Australia. MFP of Australia got a hold of me yesterday and said, hello, mate. We're going to go ahead and ship you not one, not two, not three, not five, not six, 10 crank supports. 10! He said, I will send you 10, mate. We're going to give away a bunch of fucking crank supports. If you need it or not, I'm basically giving you $1,100 to $1,500 bucks just because. So we'll talk about that and many more things on this Peasant Chat. Let's say hi to the people here and we'll get after it. Coyote Flurry, Jesus Christ. Coyote Fury, Clean 93 GT, Naldo 302, Travis Leon Phelps, 2JZ, Fox Body, B. Leves, Deuce Dated, Slow 99, Joe Swiss, 2000 MCR, Dane Austin, Monty 540, 616, Slow 99, Triller GTO, The Fish, Rudy Bukala, Parrish Lewis, the One of One RTR, Phil, Boost Demon, Andy Ali, Valley 10 Speed, going 8! Valley 10 Speed, going 8! With an ESS kit! Soft ass shifts, 7,100 RPMs, leaving in second gear. That bitch got an 860, 870 in it. Bet me. Congratulations on another ESS kit. going 8th. Alex is just talking shit. That kid is bottom of the barrel. Really? I guess everyone's running this bottom of the barrel kit. Led Foot, Coyote Kelly, GT Mustang, The Wolf, Mucky Mock. We got Bryson Witt, Jason Atkins, EPA, TJ Skorsky, Savannah Martin, Noxo, Mr. Crank himself, Dixon Zaid, Pito, Chiquito, 101 RTR, Kenneth Lubas, J Puck, Gregory Ovich, Testin Technology, The Fish, John Bailey, Evan Smith, 94 GT for Big Jake, Mark, RoboStyle 50, DNA Performance, Whipple 50, Jason, let's get all the way to the bottom. We can talk to him. Boost Willis, Foxbody John a couple of times. Mofa, Dakota Jones, Fast Rider, Marcelo, Chris Call, Can I Be Frank? What's up? Can I Be Frank? Posting a fucking daily video of racing. I mean, literally a daily video of racing nonstop. 50K2AZ, Nick Nair, Harley Takwachimoto, BJ, Perro Grande, Jackson Jeeper, Jack, I'm up in Charlotte for the 4Wide Nationals. VP was up there selling cans of pump gas. Corner Blue, Mofa, Ray Williams, and Peter Chow. The 18 manifold test went so well that it showcased a couple of theories that we had when it comes to installing an 18 manifold. Remember, guys, this is a bone stock car. It's got manifold, it's got catalytic converters, and it's got a stock exhaust. So what I'm doing is working on the front half. I'm doing it as if you owned, this is your only vehicle, right? I'm basically saying, I'm going to tune this car and mod this car as if it was my only vehicle. So I went ahead and installed the PMAS cold. I tuned first, did a stock versus tuned shift points. Then we did a PMAS colder intake stock for stock, and we saw that there was not that big of a difference. Then the 18 manifold showed a bigger difference, 2/10 pump gas to pump gas. It was actually quicker than the race gas, but on the pump gas comparison, it was up 2/10 in the quarter mile in worse conditions. Now, I've filled up with E85 because it has LU47 injectors in it, and now I will begin doing E85 testing, more than likely Wednesday, but I'm going to release another video Wednesday that has nothing to do with this. Actually, it does. I might just do that. I might just go out there, do a draggy hit, and just finish up a video, because there's a lot of things that I put together in one video that I think it'll be more of an update video, but you'll be able to see some E85 results, or I could do it the right way and do it S197 specific so that I can put it on a playlist. And if you ever wanted to do that, meaning look at a playlist beginning to end, NA all the way to blower, you have one playlist to look at on a 13 Mustang doing it up. And I think it was a great, great illustration of what to do. By the way, 1320 Junkie Performance did sponsor me an 18 manifold. I appreciate you, Jason Teixeira. The manifold did exactly what it's supposed to do. 2/10 over a pump gas stock manifold versus 18 manifold. And this is draggy testing, and it's been consistently gaining and better and better ETs. It needs about a 7,700 RPM shift. So once I get it to the track, because I think the next couple of mods are going to make it really difficult to hook on the street and be consistent. The next mods are going to be headers, more than likely, free flown exhaust, and a catback. I don't want to do headers, stock mufflers, then catback. We all know that the catback does not really add a bunch of horsepower, 5 at most. So what I want to do is just do the whole exhaust in one shot. So Ultimate Header hit me up and said, I'm about 3 weeks out from getting headers to you. So I could do a couple of things. I can get a converter in it right away, put the converter in it, and that'll be the next test before exhaust. And then that'll show what I can front half, or let's get the airflow going, keep the stock converter, because that's a big ticket item. Actually, so are headers. Headers are averaging $1,500 and up, and so is a converter. So it'd be a wash as to what you should do next. So that'll show you right there if the gains on headers are not that great, but then when a converter goes on, the gains are huge, then I think it's going to be a good answer to which one is better. So let's talk about really quick how much money Ford is losing. And we talked about their lack of delivery or lack of execution when it comes to the EV game. Ford's electric, this is CNN, I hate CNN, but you know, whatever, CNN article. Ford's electric vehicle unit reported the losses soared in the first quarter of this year, guys, to $1.3 billion or $132,000 for each of the 10,000 vehicles sold in its first 3 months. Guys, in its first 3 months, it lost $100,000 each car. How can you do that? Like, that doesn't make sense. They factor in everything. They factor in R&D. They factor in tooling. They factor in employee costs. They factor in everything. And these things absolutely need to sell to recoup some money. helping drag down earnings for the company overall. Ford, like most automakers, has announced plans to shift from traditional gas-powered vehicles, which is stupid. You don't shift. You supplement. But it is only traditional auto, it is the only traditional automaker to break out result of its retail EV sales. And the results reported Wednesday show another sign of the profit pressures of the EV business at and Ford and other automakers. The EV unit, which Ford calls Model E, sold 10,000 vehicles in the quarter, down 20% from last year. And its revenue plunged 84% to about $100 million, which Ford attributed to mostly price cuts for EVs across the industry. That resulted in the $1.3 billion loss before interest and taxes, and the massive vehicle loss in the Model E unit. The losses go far beyond the cost of building and selling the 10,000 cars, according to Ford. Instead, the losses include hundreds of millions being spent on R&D of the next generation EVs for Ford. Those investments are years away from paying off. Ooh, board members might not be happy. And that means that it is not the end of the losses for in the unit. Ford says it expects Model E will have EBIT losses of $5 billion for this year alone. Imagine making something. You know you're assembling it at the plant. You know you're making $170,000 a year as a union worker with an exoskeleton and wires lifting the tools, knowing every single vehicle loses money and being happy about it. In 2023, Model E reported a full year EBT loss of $4.7 billion on sales of 116,000 EVs on it, or an average of $40,000 per vehicle, just more than a third of the first quarter loss. Model E doesn't handle all the company's electric vehicle sales. Some also its Ford Pro unit, which handles fleet sales to businesses, government buyers, and Ford said it has strong demands for electric vehicles. No, it doesn't. It's the same reason. Anyway, they lost a bunch of money. They're fucking up. When they say there's a strong demand, what they mean is, it's like DEI, right? DEI, diversity, equity, and inclusion. This is the DEI version. This is the car version of DEI. Diversity, equity, and inclusion. You know you have a product that is subpar. You know if you hire a Puerto Rican to do some shit that they're just not genetically, you know, fit to do. They can do reggaeton. They can blend, you know, haircuts really good. They can do arroz con habichuela. A gandule, un aguacate, totone, y una chuleta. No problem. Ask them to do something really difficult. The chances are, you know, that they're not really, let's just say, equipped to do that. So that's what the EV DEI version of the car is. It's basically making a car that is kind of just thrown out there as filler because the government said you have to do it. They're trying to compete with Tesla. And I'll be honest with you guys, I finally rode in a Tesla. I do not like the power delivery of those cars. Bear with me. It doesn't feel like a car. It's an on-off switch. Yes, it's smooth when you're cruising, but when you go watt, it's quick, then it peters out. Unless you're in the Model S Plaid. That's the only one. Every other EV ramps up really quick and then flattens the fuck out. There isn't a constant pull, even though gas cars technically keep pulling the more you rev them. This thing just kind of whoop, and it just kind of stays flat after a certain amount of time. After the initial hit of the torque hits you, you're like, all right, then it kind of flattens out. And you're like, interesting. That's not something I like in a car. I expect constant acceleration, especially in a performance vehicle. And I was in a performance variant of a Model Y dual motor. It just wasn't that impressive. It was cool, quick, but like after a while, you're kind of like, meh. So in my opinion, that's more of a statement car. I have a Tesla. I don't necessarily have a better car, but I have a Tesla. Light to light, it'll kill everything. But when we're talking performance vehicles, I'd rather have my ZR1. I'd rather have something turbo stick doing crazy shit than a regular EV. But anyway, I think that the application or the execution of the EV market was so soft on Ford, they didn't even bother to step in halfway and do hybrid stuff. They immediately went EV and they gave you a name, Mustang Mach-E. And the fact that it's losing $100,000 per vehicle is fucking embarrassing. So let's talk about real quick. Let's talk about Valley 10 Speed. Let's go to Instagram real quick. Go to Valley 10 Speed profile and check out what he has going on. He went to... I don't know what track that is, but they kicked him out right off the rip. He showed up and immediately got kicked out the bitch because they were like, yeah, bro, your shit's went 8-9 at. Look at the mile an hour, guys. Look at the mile an hour. Soft ass, 60 foot. 1.4, 60 foot. 5'8 to the eighth. 5'8 to the eighth. That's quicker than Murder Nova. He's quicker than Murder Nova, bro. I just realized an ESS Gen 3 leaving in second is quicker than a FuelTech Whipple 3.8 Texas Speed Motor, four-wheel drive, get the blah, blah, blah. An 897, 158, he was not able to get another pass because they said, boy, you is done here. Another person who doesn't probably want me to say the time, let me find it. He does not want me to say the time, but what he did was, I don't want to post it. Here we go. No, this is just what the hell is this, bro? Can you just like have your fucking shit? I love how people just ridiculously jack up their profiles and you can't tell what's what, who's who. But he went a good number. He showed me a couple of videos of the thing doing stupid wheelies. I mean, look it. I'm trying to make sure that there's no time showing. But this is a Luntuned Coyote Swap, I think GT500 body. Look at how high this thing got up there. So this is, I think, a GT500 body with a Coyote and a Whipple 3.8 on it, turbo 400. I said, bro, forget the 6R80 game with what you're trying to do. What you need to do is absolutely get after it and just, you know, do race car shit. Because on the street, it's going to be better for you. And he did. Dude, it's kind of small. You can't really see it. But at the end of the day, he was able to... Hey, look, that's pretty good. Dude, it's on a two-step. It's on a Whipple 3.8. It's getting it. You know, he's happy. And that's a nice thing. I like to be able to tell people, hey, do this, this, and this, and you will have this end result. And after Valley 10-speed got his transmission fixed, I could have hacked my way around the shift points nonstop. I stuck to my guns. I said, you got... Same tune. Has gone eights in many other vehicles. And he's like, bet. Put it up on a lift. Learned how to do the clutches himself. Put it up. We dialed in shift points. And meaning it was actually short shifting now. And according to him, it was short shifting at the track, which means the trans was probably on the cold side and it wasn't up to temperature. So if it was up to temperature, it probably hit, you know, 7,700 RPM shifts. That car leaving on a trans brake and a two-step, second gear leave, cutting a 1.3 or a 1.2, should go 860. I have no doubt Valley 10 speed can go 860 in that car and a 5.58, no problem with ESS G4. Figured out the tensioner issue. ESS actually helped them out, made sure the tensioner situation was figured out, because remember, we were having issues with that. Figured it out. So now you have so many options to run an 8-second quarter mile with a Whipple, with a Vortec, if it's a V7 situation, with an ESS, with turbos. The 8-second combo is now cookie cutter. A certain amount of boost, a certain tune, and you are done. So the combos are there for Gen 2. The combos are there for Gen 3. If you have a Coyote swap car and you want to go racing only, forget the 6R80 game. If you're dealing with a not so great prep situation, if you have great prep, a 4R200, in my opinion, is something you should consider. And now that we are nearing figuring out the 1-2-3-6, 6-3-2-1 shift, that transmission is going to dominate a lot of the overdrive transmission classes, which are starting to become popular. And you're going to see people start to complain that the 4R200 is an unfair advantage, when before everybody was saying it was such a dud, we can't tune it, it's a piece of shit. All of a sudden, it's all good. Jacob De Leon says, what's going on? What, we going to see that car in a 20% lower 69 upper one day? Absolutely, Jacob De Leon. The Roush 2.3 that's going to go into 2013 is going to be on pump gas first. 82 millimeter converter, you know, all the bullshit. It's going to be like a 1070, 1060 car. Then we're going to go E85 and we're going to go 75, 72 millimeter pulley. It'll probably go a 980. And that's when I have to make a decision. Do I want to push it? I could push it until the motor lets go. Or I could do the very smart thing. And after I get my 9 with the stock motor, sell it. Sell a complete, working, running, good compression, not too much abuse, 5.0 to somebody for about $3,500 or $4,000. Use that money to fund a 3-2-1 build, Gen 3 bottom end, Gen 2 heads, Gen 1 timing set, probably upgrade the cams to Donnie spec, comp cam, stage 3s. Then you do a 20%, 69 upper, and port it. Send the blower out to port to Greg and say, do whatever you can on this little 2.3 so that it could flow the most air possible. Get back out to the track with a trans brake, maybe a second gear leave, and we'll see if we can get that car going 9.2, 9.1, maybe 8.90 with a Roush 2.3. It's going to be a good time, I think. I think you guys are really going to appreciate it, but I have a plan. It's about a 1.5-year plan. Nick Nair says, I enjoyed your video on the manifold. My question is, the 1320 ported manifold looks like a 350 manifold, similar to my Bullet 18 intake, which I thought was great. Forget the color. They changed the color somewhere in like 22. 21, 22, they changed the color. It's not a 350. And I think a 350 over an 18 is not that big of a difference, to be honest with you. I wouldn't get it. I wouldn't say a 350 is better than an 18. It's nominally better, like 2 horsepower, which will never show up on a dynograph ever. Get an 18 manifold or a 350, whichever you can get your hands on. Anyone else finds it funny that the Diddy story completely disappeared in the news? I don't know what news you're watching, because that shit is still popping on the hip-hop channels. Imagine telling Shelby, Dave, that a fast GT500 has a coyote. What's going on here? E-Pay probably has, because he paid a visit to Joe himself. The world is a stage they present if it's the narrative. What are we talking about? Did we get off kilter? Or are you talking about Ford really flailing at the EV game? Now, we've made fun of Ford nonstop here. We've made fun of Ford in the fact that they're short-sighted. They think that they're far-sighted in terms of what the world is going to be. I don't see EVs selling unless you see a... If the only way to sell somebody an EV is to bribe them with government incentives, how the fuck is that a good thing? Like, imagine you go, fuck me, I just spilled coffee all over the goddamn computer. It's just on the top. It's all good. I'll clean it. So, when someone has to bribe you into buying something, it's an inferior product. Buy this. Why? We'll give you a plasma TV. Well, OLED, you know, television. But that car seems to be a better car. Yeah, we don't care. You're going to get a television with this car. And you're like, well, okay, it's a free TV. And then when you figure out that you and I, as the stupid citizen with our taxes, is covering the cost of an EV because you have to bribe people to buy it. And this is what they do. They take the price right off the top. Let's say the EV costs you $50,000. And then the government kickback is $7,000. They'll say, after government kickbacks, this thing's only $41,000, $43,000. Oh, but you still have to pay a $50,000 nut, carry that through the year, depending on when you buy it, and then wait for the incentive to kick in. Oh, have you noticed? By the way, poor people, because this is the peasant chat. Have you noticed you haven't gotten your refunds? I owe every year. I either owe $20,000, $15,000. This year, I'm thinking it's more in the 4 figures as opposed to 5 figures owing the government, because I spent a lot of money last year. Have you noticed you haven't gotten your refunds? So imagine you think you're going to get some kind of tax credit pretty quickly. And by the time you file, let's say you're one of those early cycles that get everything done by February. You think you're going to get your money by April? No, pendejo. You're going to wait till November, December, whenever the fuck they feel like sending you something. Because heaven forbid you owe the IRS money. If you're one day late, it's like a 300, 400, there's a certain percentage that they charge you as a late fee. But when it comes time for them to pay you, oh, they take their sweet ass fucking time. So again, anything that requires a bribery to buy is a gimmick. By the way, have you seen a certain company? Remember about, I don't know, 2 or 3 months ago, I said a certain company said there was a one-day sale and they were screwing their dealers by giving them dealer pricing. And obviously that didn't fucking matter. And all of a sudden that now they're saying, by the way, we're extending the sale. 15 to 20% off all these kits. And I'm like, it's so fucking obvious what's happening. There's a liquidation happening. There's an insane liquidation. And it is just, you could just see it from a mile away. And that's why I don't hate this industry. I wish this industry had honesty behind it. There aren't many honest people in this industry, the automotive aftermarket. And it's very obvious that certain people are liquidating what's on the shelves because they have to get that shit out, which then tells you they can actually take a bigger hit. Every smart motherfucker that wants to buy something that seems to be in liquidation format, just wait. Just wait. Wait longer. Oh, I'm going to wait a whole fucking year. Oh, that 20%? Because let's say you bought it on that one-day sale, thinking you got a deal. Then 2 months later, they give you the same sale again. Guys, it's going to happen again and again and again. And then you make a call and you say, I want this fucking thing for barely above cost. Meaning, I want you to tell me how much you got in it, how much you need to get it out of it to make some money within reason, and that's what I'm willing to pay. And I bet you it's 30, 40% more than the current price. It's crazy stuff. Thoughts on the hybrid S650? They hinted at. It's still probably going to be a dud because you can't tune it, and I'm interested with the prospect. I don't know that a V8 S650 is going to be a thing. Hybrid. I don't know what the upside is. It's going to be heavier, so they're probably going to make it like an EcoBoost variant. The Power Boost F-150 is a 3.5. I've always said that they should have a hybrid all-wheel drive, twin turbo, EcoBoost, 2.7 or 3.5 with exactly what the E-Ray did. Funny thing is, I mentioned this before I even knew what the E-Ray was. And then the E-Ray literally did exactly what I thought Ford should do. Okay, let's say this channel, exactly, nobody gets a refund. Let's say I'm in the market for a road race car that I want to daily. Viper, I would never daily a Viper. Viper's already 10 years old, a 2015 Viper, 14 Viper, already 10 years old, still $100,000 or more. I would never daily that. It's too expensive. It's crazy. And the financing is going to be difficult because I wouldn't pay cash for that. I finance it. I if my 401k is doing, I'd rather fucking do it with cars. I have better luck not flipping because I don't flip cars, but I have better luck putting my money in cars and actually taking the depreciation in the taxes. It's so weird when you get to a certain stage in business and making money, you start moving different. I would have never thought that I have to spend $40,000 to $50,000 a year so that the government takes less of my money every year. I have to spend it. So what I spend it on is something I can then sell or have, sell, and just keep spending every year, but you have stuff, tangible assets that are yours. And at a higher level, meaning if you're a millionaire, you do that with homes, you do that with a bunch of other things. So that you have things that you have to spend the money on something, might as well spend the money on something that's going to make you money. So I understand that game a little bit now, but I'm just dabbling in it with cars. So back to what I was saying. If I get a Viper, it's not going to be a roll car, right? It's going to be a road race car, something that turns, stops, does it all. Would I do that to a 10-year-old car that cost me $100,000 and probably has a high interest rate because I had to finance it? No. Would I do it with an E-Ray? Listen, a 10.7, 10.6 stock car that handles, stops, is domestic, I can finance easily, afford it easily. I mean, when you think about it, an E-Ray is probably something that if you were to be in that market, you got to be in that market, guys. You understand, you guys that are probably going, it's fucking stupid. It's a New Balance. Get in one. Drive it. Don't talk about it because from the outside looking in your bubble, a fucking 85 Capri is worth more money to you. No. I'm talking about people in my position that, one, need content, two, want something that they can actually use, and an E-Ray is pretty usable. All-wheel drive, dig car if you want, 10-second car, road races, stops, looks good. I don't know. My C601, everyone knows that is like a god-tier stick car. Nobody poo-poos me for getting a ZR1. But a fucking E-Ray actually sounds pretty good. You know what's going to be fucked up? Every car that I want that fulfills a certain emotional, you know, need is made by Chevy. And I hate to say that. So the Cadillac Escalade fulfills the V8, big, luxurious, tows well, looks great, powerful SUV, daily. The Cadillac CTS V3, chopping it up with drug dealer bell action, the bitch. You know, I would buy one already done. I would not even try to build it. Fuck that. I would find one that makes 900 wheel, chopping it up, Corsa gaze, already has bell action, someone just got bored of it, and I can pick it up. And that'll fulfill that big sedan, luxurious, but it chops like a motherfucker. And it runs like a 9-second quarter mile. That's fine. Then, the C601 does what it does. It's a 3,300-pound, now 700 rear-wheel horsepower car that gets after it, has tons of torque, big V8, positive displacement supercharger, on pump gas, it makes upwards of high 600, low 700 rear-wheel horsepower, 3,300-pound stick with a TR6060. I love Mustang. I have a GT500. That GT500 is only good in a straight line. That's all it does. My S197, believe it or not, I like very much. It gets me around. It's everything's great. But it also, it's more nostalgic than anything. And it does bring modern Fox body vibes. I was hanging out with some new friends today that have some really badass cars. I've made some new friends. I've gotten out there a little bit. I've socialized more than I normally would. And it's worked out. I'm going to get you guys some content on that. I think you guys will really appreciate that. I ended up finishing up tuning on Hush Money's old motor. And guys, the chef's kiss. This gentleman, the blue notch that Hush Money's old motor went into, the gentleman did not know what to expect. He said, Alex, if you have some time, let's finish up the tuning on this car. Because it was a package deal. When I sold the motor, trans, and everything to the gentleman, it was a package deal. I said, I'll take care of you on the tuning. Don't worry about it. Okay, cool. We finally finished it today. 12 pounds of boost. A third gear hit. The guy was like, what the fuck was that? And I was like, you've never messed with Coyote motors. He goes, no, not like that. 12 pounds of boost, pump gas, 1.8 air load, 14, 15 degrees of timing. He goes, dude, this thing is dumb. Then we did E85. He goes, you want to drop down the pulley size? I go, no, keep it on this pulley. Added 6 degrees on the bottom, blended about 3 up top, peak of about 19.8 degrees. He was shitting his pants. Legit. He goes, I looked down at the tack and it's still pulling after 7,500 RPMs. I go, yeah, that's the Coyote for you. And when he got out of the car, he had to go for a walk. He legit had to go for a walk. He was like, you know, it's like, I have to understand what this car is. I go, dude, this is a 950 car stick. He's like, are you serious? I go, a 12 PSI, 2,800 pound notch with a mini tub and a fucking 325 tire in the back with AC, all the amenities, a good sound system. I will get you video on that car and you guys will be pleasantly surprised how someone built an actual street car. When we talk about street car, this thing's on pumpy 85, air conditioning, Everything works on it. It's got a big fat tire in the back, more like a pro street build. It's a notch at 2,800 pounds on E85 in a Coyote and an Edelbrock 2650. Woo! Good times ahead. Alex is making new friends. Next, you'll have a new lady. That wouldn't be bad, but it's not my goal. Absolutely, the E-Rate. You know how smooth the transition from E to gas-powered can be. Damn near flawless transition. C6E would be a bargain for a road race, but I get the reliability of a newer car. The C6Z Nestor Berrios, unfortunately, has to have a built motor. And how much is it going to cost me for a 2006, 2007, 8, 9 C6Z06 with a built motor? It's going to be $40,000, $50,000. You don't think I can find a better vehicle that already maybe has a blower or turbo in it for $40,000 to $50,000 than a C6Z06? And again, you're going to have to come off pocket cash. That's all. I hate to say it, but don't laugh. My current goal is to get rid of my 15 GT for an 11 to 12 GT500. Coyote Kelly, I understand. A lot of the people that watch me at the old VMP days always wondered, Alex, why an 11 to 12 GT500? Why is an 11 to 12 GT500 better for you? Understand this. A lot of people put weird asterisks in what makes a car great. The 11 to 12 GT500 stock versus the 13 GT500 stock is no competition. The 13 GT500 is quicker, has a close ratio TR6060, generally is faster, has a 200 mile an hour top speed, and a higher revving motor. But if you just want a pump gas, affordable, lower ratio first gear, all aluminum motor, torquey, and you're a TVS headers, pump gas, and MU52s away from making 650 rear wheel horsepower in an 11 to 12 GT500 that's probably going to cost you $32,000 to $35,000, that is a winner, in my opinion. That's an absolute winner. And if you want to go E85 and all that shit, do the thing. But honestly, these old GT500, the S197 is a treasure trove of cars that are slowly being forgotten. There's going to be a dip in the market. It's going to be a dip, and we're in the middle of that dip. Because imagine if I owned a 13 GT, a 14 GT500, and a Boss 302. Three cars from the same generation that are vastly different than from each other. The 6R80, comfortable. You can drag race with it. It's going to be a good car to build for a dig car. The Boss 302, the God motor, God tier Gen 1 motor, the master race motor, Boss 302. It's a low production run. It has an allure to itself. It's just the Boss 302. You look at it, it's badass. And I have a 14 GT500. Don't think that I haven't thought about that angle of owning all three models of the most Billy badass or examples of the Gen 1 Mustang that were made. And the Gen 1 Mustang, if you know what you're doing and watch my build series, is going to make people go, wait a minute, I'm a couple of bolt-ons away from in the 11s, fully loaded on basic shit. Yes. Wait a minute. I'm a exhaust, converter, manifold, and E85 away from going 11.7, 11.6. Yep. Wait a minute. I'm a blower, pump gas, 82 millimeter, BAP, and MU52s away from running 1090, 1080. Yep. A lot of people forget the S197, its potential for, you know, within reason. And when you want to go all out, I would rather start with an S197 than an SI50. Because you're starting to see that the IRS, at up to a certain point, kind of becomes an issue. Craig Built says, build a Cadillac SUV, you have to chop and make respectable power. So Craig Built, the problem with that is it's just a big, heavy, dumb thing. So I have to build the transmission, put a cam in it, put a 1.9 blower on it, and have it make 600 crank, and have it run 12.0, 11.9. I don't know if that's, does that sound cool? I don't want the SUV to chop. I want a CTSV to chop. Any info on your old notch? No, sir. Hey, that's gone. Once it's gone, it's gone. I don't care about its history. These Gen 3 1080s, New Mexico, think they're the fastest cars in the country. See, the problem is they don't know nothing. a lot of these guys that are 10R80 Chris or 10R80 Bob or 10R80 Mike, those guys think that that is the Billy Badass shit. And then when someone competent builds something older, they go, and it's a stipulation race. They'll say, well, I want to roll race my 10R80 car. My 10R80 NA car is an 8 second 60 to 130 car. Cool. What's a dig? Well, I don't dig race. Well, I do. So, yeah, maybe you beat me in a roll from 60 to 130. Well, let's do 0 to 125. S197 weighs less than S550 and it doesn't have half shaft issues when launching under high power RPM. Definitely a dip in the market for older GT500s. Picked up my 12 GT500 Recaros and SVT performance package for $23,000. 90,000 miles, it doesn't matter. Sauté 281, it doesn't matter. The mileage on those things, it don't matter. suspension less expensive, the S197 compared to the S550. Jared Wells says, hey, I'm tracing my fuel issue to a burnt up pump. Got it on video. Kind of was hard to do, but it doesn't look like it's going up one-to-one with boost. So got to put two new 274 pumps. Thank you very much, Jared Wells. This is why we have the customer vet that the fuel pressure is going up one-to-one. What does that mean? If you have a 45, forget it. Let's just make it way simple. If you have a 55 PSI base pressure on your fuel pressure regulator and you are pulleyed for 10 PSI, what should your fuel pressure be at wide open throttle at high RPM? Answer, guys. If you have a 55 PSI base on your fuel pressure regulator and you have a 10 PSI pulley at sea level, what should your fuel pressure be at wide open throttle? Answer, please. Because if you don't understand what one-to-one with boost means, then typically I don't think I can help you. Thank you very much. Monty 540, clip-clop the horse, say 65. So if your base fuel pressure is 55 PSI and you're pulleyed for 15 PSI, the car should see 70 PSI at what? If it does not, you now have an issue with fuel delivery, which is 100% mechanical. A tuner cannot add clinch stroke, stop it. Oh my God, clinch stroke, stop it. 65. So your fuel delivery is mechanical. You turn the key on, the pumps turn on. The fuel pressure regulator is set at 55. If it has a proper boost reference and the boost reference gets to the regulator, and it puts a little pressure on it because of the boost, it should raise it 1 to 1 to boost. So if you have any other issue with that fuel delivery, it's mechanical. It's a pump not kicking on. It's a broken nipple in the tank. It's a whole bunch of things, but it is not the tune. 10R80s are only good to roll and mine sucks. Missed my 2012 TrackPack 6-speed. Maybe I'll like it more boosted. Ken Phillips says 43 PSI because I bought a budget returns off fuel system. You can do 43 PSI base, but the moment you take vacuum away, it'll go up to 50, 55 PSI. That's normal. Dante Fastback says, me and you had an issue with fuel pressure the other day. Haha, 285, solved that. Dante Fastback, are you the Coyote Swap guy? I think so. Yes, if I'm not mistaken, you had a Coyote Swap car. Fuel pressure dropped off a fucking hill. You put a completely different pump in. I did not touch the tune. You came back on a data log on the same fucking tune. And the bitch just worked. And I said, vaya con Dios, enjoy your summer. There's nothing better in the ticket system for me as an employee of Lund to tell somebody that their car's done. Today, after finishing tuning that notch, the smile on his face, right? I don't like people. I hate people. Fuck, people suck. But when I meet people that are of the same ilk, like good people, I want to do everything for them. No money, no ulterior motive, nothing. I just want to help you achieve your goal. So we tuned the car on pump gas, two hits, it was done. Put E85 in it, come back from the turnpike, turn around, go on 441, things hauling fucking ass. I said, dude, this thing's, it's good. He goes, dude, it's good. Leave it alone. It's perfect. Then we get home to his place and he's just like, it's not leaking. It just works and it's idling like a kitten. I said, God damn it. Do you want a cantaloupe idle tune? And he's like, is it going to hurt the car? I go, no. He goes, what does it do? I go, I can make the cams overlap so that it has a chop like an LS. He goes, you don't do anything with fueling? I go, no, it's going to trim fuel perfectly at idle. He goes, so fueling is going to be fine? Yes. It's not going to dump fuel? No. It's going to chop like an LS? Yes. And it's going to drive fine? I go, yes. Do it. I will show you the video that I took because I didn't want to, like, I didn't post it because he's a private guy. I didn't want to, you know, blow up his spot. Dude. Guys, listen to this fucking thing. Look at Hush Money's motor. Bro, the smile that was on his face, he goes, it's the best, it's the coolest fucking thing ever. I go, right. A lot of people call it gay. A lot of people sit there and say, you suck, and ghost cammed idols are fake chops, da 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 da. And he sat there and went, it sounds just like my Cadillac CTS-V. He has a badass Cadillac CTS-V. And he's like, it's chopping exactly like it. I go, and you just drive it. He was like, damn. I go, this might be your favorite car. And it has ice cold AC, guys. This Fox Body has a sound system. It has subwoofers. It's got everything. And it's got ice cold AC. I go, what the fuck? He could turn around and sell this car for fucking $90,000. So a video on tuning the guy's coupe sounds super fun. That's a bad bitch. Just hanging out, getting that thing dialed in. Yes, it was already dialed in. I had to do shit. The Lund tune, this is why I work for Lund. This is why I promote Lund. This is why I'm proud to be a Lund Racing employee. This thing just worked. And when the car is built, great. By the way, shout out to Lujan Motorsports. Lujan Racing, Lujan Motorsports in Miami did most of the mechanic work. He, the owner, did a lot of the accessory work, the this and this and that. I didn't have to do shit. It was like tuning a stock car. I go, I did all of the vetting of this combo when I owned it in Hush Money. He has a better fuel system in this car. He has FIC 1440, a 12 PSI pulley. I go, here's the tune. I know this bitch is going to work. And goddamn it, did it work. And you should see what he did with the inlet. You should see what he did with the inlet there's me tuning on it. A little picture, because, you know, me actually getting out. He goes, you know what's funny? He took a picture of it because he goes, you never see yourself working on a car. No, I never do. There it is. Fucking just sitting in his driveway, and there's my S197 right behind there today, and I just tuned it for a little while and had a bunch of fun. Beat this. He let me drive it. I was like, wah-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba. He's like, holy shit, this thing's dumb. I go, yeah, it's pretty dumb. So I was going to show you the inlet, that what the modifications he did on the inlet for the Whipple throttle body. It was so freaking cool. He did an exceptional job making sure that throttle body was figured out. Wow, I have a lot of photos. Holy shit. Give me a second here. I'll find it, and I'll kind of give you a rundown of how he did it. It's totally remotely located. Just a killer job on it. Let's see if I could find it. Dick picture. I'm kidding. Maybe. Oh, no, it's not here. I'll get you a video on it. He said, this is what he said today. He goes, Alex, whenever you want to get it, come down, get it, do a video on it. I don't care. He said the same thing with the Viper. He said the same thing with a couple of cars. I'm like, I don't want to drive the Viper because I would want to have to clean it. Channel support. Thanks for answering questions on Patreon. Thank you so much for being a Patreon member. Spent the weekend driving the 21 Mach 1 over the weekend. First time in an S550 coming forward with GT500. May need to switch up. I get the Fox body references now. Little late. Nice chop. It's a badass car. From what I know, the 1080 is fine unless you do put it into overdrive under heavy. No, it's junk. Downhill, it's junk. It goes 1, 2, 5, 3, 7. It skips shifts. It clunks into gear for no reason. There's a delay between the park drive transition. It's not a good transmission. So I love you. It's junk. That chop is just perfect. It took a little tweaking we have a couple of what we call value files. They did not work on this car. So I went into the archives and remembered certain cars that I made changes for, and Junior and Brandon and Dakota, they all make changes. And I remember there was one customer specifically that had a Whipple car that chopped really well. And I looked at the map points and I'm like, oh, okay, this looks like it's where it should be. It's a favorable cam position. And I loaded that value file and it was like perfect, like absolutely perfect. Two tries and it was fine. I see my pen. That brings a smile to my face, and it's not even my Fox. You shouldn't have to drive with a, you shouldn't drive with the Ghost Cam too. No, you could drive it. He asked me the same question. Can you drive it? Yeah. The moment you give it throttle, it goes back to the regular idling cam phasing. And then when it comes down, slowly, it reverts to that. You can drive on a Ghost Cam idle tune, no problem. It's just not going to drive great. Stock Mustang MTD2 feels sluggish after driving the 10R80 stock for stock. Wait, so having the cam phasing overlap lets it chop? That's badass. Yes, Nick Nair, that's exactly how it works. The Ghost Cam idle tune is not fueling. No. The cams are here, right? And it's causing a la 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 idle. And then I go, and you give it gas, that's what it does. It's like you taking a cam that has overlap in and out of a car under idle. Think of it that way. A cam loped idle tune is me slipping in a kill the dolphins, fuck the blue whale cam at idle. And the moment you tip in, you put in a stock cam. Understand? No, I don't get it. How? Yes, the intake cam. Like, and then you explain it to people. Do you understand VCT? Yeah, I totally understand VCT. You understand twin independent variable cam timing? Yeah, I totally understand it. Okay, so I put the intake cam and exhaust cam in a overlap position at idle and it chops. Wait a minute. What do you do with the fuel? Do Coyotes benefit from long tubes? Absolutely. If you have a high revving manifold, 18 Boss, GT350, or Cobra Jet. Remember, the Cobra Jet is not a manifold. You should even consider, unless you want to put aftermarket cams in the car. You can drive it, but it won't drive great. And mile per gallon will be the same? Yeah, I don't see why not. That is the Alex I like to see. Elevated and enjoyment. There's a black pill moment that happens with me sometimes. And you go into a dark place. You just say, I just want to say, fuck it all. Get the fuck out of here. I work at Home Depot. Fuck this. Then you get your head out of your asshole and you go, I really like this. This is what I do. This is what I'm good at. This is what I was meant to do. And when you can service a customer, he's not a customer. He basically is a friend that I sold my engine to. I said, I'll tune it for nothing. And if the Lunds want me to pay, no problem. Like, give me an invoice, whatever. I gave him my N-gauge. And if I'm going to say, guys, you don't get it. This guy represents Coyote Swaps everywhere. So if he goes somewhere and this thing is chopping, people go, who the fuck tuned this? They go, Lund. They go, oh, I want it. Watch him go to the next Coyote and I'll go. I'm going to go. If there's another Fox Body meet like that, I'm going to go. And I'm going to sit around like a proud daddy and go, hey, turn it on, sir. Sir, turn it on. Turn on, bro. People are going to go, what the fuck? It's a Coyote chopping. I don't get it. You mean Coyote cams are variable? It's 2024 and people still don't understand VCT. They think they do. A lot of people think they understand what VCT even means. They have no idea. They think it's VTEC. There are people out there that go, oh yeah, VCT just like Hondas. No. Hondas have like a mechanical actuation. Well, B-Series, which is the one that has a mechanical actuation that at a certain RPM, you get the VTEC, variable timing electronic control. I think it's called variable timing electronic control, VTEC, right? And it's a mechanical thing, I think. I don't know. But they think it's like that. I go, no, I can at any moment, at any RPM I want, phase the cams whichever way I want, independent of each other, intake to exhaust, bank to bank. Free advertisement. Oh, bro, If this guy goes to the car show, I'm going to go to the car shows. I say, bro, I want to go down and get the notch. I want us to go to this car show. I think it's going to be cool. Oh my God, oh my God. I know exactly where to take it. There's a car show every Saturday near my house. Old heads. Well, old heads with money. And some of them have modern cars. You don't see a C6 ZR1 in there. You don't see a Notch. You don't see a Mustang. You don't see anything. You see a GT500. You see an old 30s coupe. You see a, you know, Chevelle, Nova. But imagine you show up in a mini tubbed Notch with a Coyote chopping. Everybody's going to be confused. I'm going to say, bro, I'm going to get you a trophy. And we'll talk. We'll say, lun, blah, blah, blah. And it's right here. Candido Ramirez says, can you only have a Ghost Cam tune on an NA setup, or can you get that Ghost Cam on a turbo setup as well? Candido, did you just see the video that I just put up facing the camera of a car with a blower chopping? I'm going to email myself the video. Because y'all need to see it. Y'all need to see it like that. Because you need to see it on the screen to understand what's happening. Because the question you just asked blows my mind, because I just showed you a blower car chopping. Like, I just showed you that. Here we go. To myself. Oh, I can't do it. It's too big. Hey-o. Fuck it. I'll do it another time. Dropping a catch. I'll catch a replay. That's my baby. Listen to it. It said Whipple50. Craig Bilt says, when you tuned me NA, we couldn't get the cam tune to work correctly. It had a forward control peg. Craig Bilt, do me a favor. Email me in the system. I might have found some stuff that might help. Again, there's no guarantee it's going to chop on your setup. But I found some stuff that might help. So if you want to hit me up in the ticket system and say, hey, Alex, can we try some other files for it to chop? And I'll do my best to get it to chop for you. Just think of your keyway being filed down and your cam can move all over the place. Thus, we... Oh, I love it. One of on RTR says, the knowledge is priceless. Thank you so much. If not chopping like a motherfucker, it ain't worth shit. B-Series is mechanical. K-Series is VCT. Thank you. Hydraulic actuation goes off of oil pressure, if I remember. Don't quote me. I'm just dumbass. You got it. VTEC is just based on the actual cam lobe. Different cam lobe, different profile cam. Got it. It does barely chop, though. I don't know what you're talking about. Zach Anderson, mine doesn't do that. Would I be able to send the login to see if we can make it? No, we do not make different cam lobe title tunes. We can try different value files. And if it chops, it chops. That's it. If it chops, it chops. Whatever sound it makes, we don't make it throatier. No, it chops. See ya. The sound, you want to hear what's the best chopping generation? Gen 2. It's the same. No, it's not. I like how people go, it's a Coyote, Alex. Why can't it chop exactly like a Gen 2? You mean your Gen 3 with different heads, different valves, different cams, different operating system, different compression. You wonder why that one doesn't chop exactly like a fucking Gen 2? Gen 2 is the best generation of all Coyote, period. It does it all. It does it all. If you want the best everything, I'm saying in terms of tuning, parts availability, and performance, Gen 2, full stop. That's it. I don't know why you guys think that when I said that on the Street Alpha podcast, you might have thought I was kidding. And just because your 10R80 car, NA, goes quicker 60 to 130 than your Gen 1 car, that does not mean it's a better operating system or a better architecture to tune, build, and take to the next level. Gen 2 is daddy. I remember you showing the Fox in the past video. Guy's garage is mint. Would you be able to... Why you be talking so much, Holmes? Okay. The best Ghost Cam I've ever heard was the black twin turbo GT350 Gen 2 architecture. Coyote Throaty must be new here. Exactly. How does chopping affect drivability? Just like a regular cam in a Fox body would. Just like a heavy cam in an LS. Just like a heavy cam in a Corvette. Just like a heavy cam in anything. When you're in that chopping zone, which is on my Fox was under 1500. I could drive the Fox out of the complex and the thing's still chopping. Just like that. Exactly like a cam car. Hey, Alex, I have a 23 10R80 PMAS 91 tuned by you guys. I'm wondering when I start my long tube next weekend in a month, will it need a new tune file for it, or it'll work with the same file? Christian Manzo, it'll have the same file, but you will get cat codes if you delete your cats. Ken Abbey Frank says, I never thought it was this complicated. The cams are able to retard in advance on the fly. Why all these weird questions? Ken Abbey Frank, they don't understand it. They don't understand it. They think they do. Oh, yeah, I get it. No, you don't. You get it. You were the one that told me how to think of K series and B series for Valve Coyote. And I went, thank you. Gen 2 gang. Alex got that wonder bread can. In a word, timing. Hey, I have a Gen 2. It says Benji Hunters. And I don't run my ghost cam because it destroys my gas mileage. Is there anything I can do to fix that? Don't run the ghost cam Battletoon. You actually did it. GT350, technically Gen 2. Exactly. I'm a Gen 2 Mustang boy. All three of my twin turbo SI50s have been Gen 2. I can't get away. My ESS Gen 3 chips. Real nice. I think he means chops. How does the lobe tune affect engine vacuum at idle? Monty 540. How does a cam with heavy overlap affect vacuum at idle? I'm not mad at you. I'm trying to let the people know. How does a cam with heavy overlap affect vacuum at idle? The same fucking thing. Same fucking thing. Same fucking thing. I'm not an A anymore. Car is now tuned by a competitor, and I'm not happy with the performance of the car. Sorry. Wanted to come back to lawn. I emailed Junior. I was in hot water. What the? Well, yeah, what are you doing? Why the fuck do you go to anybody else? Because Facebook told you this guy was good? Because he was on a podcast talking shit and you said, let me try him out. He's capable. Really? Guys, you are shooting yourself in the foot if you go off the res and use other tuners. You have that option. It is your right to try other options. It is also your right to open your window while you're driving and take $700 and just throw it to the fucking wind. Go ahead. Alex, you're right about the 3,001 miles on a boosted Gen 3 oil change. Your car will shut off at a light. Mine did it this weekend. It's crazy how that works. So variable means variable? Crazy. My 16 chops like a motherfucker. Guys think that they understand VCT, are still pressing the gas pedal. They still think that pressing the gas pedal opens the throttle body. I was talking to my new friends. And I said, what happens when you give gas to a car? And you know what they both said? You're requesting torque. And I went, on the 24 GT, glad I didn't trade in the 17 towards it. It reduces it. Exactly. There's definitely some who do not understand VCT. Oh God, more chop, less vacuum. Exactly. It's overlap. Would it be cool to get a ghost cam idle tune from a Boss 302 now being two with the packs in 2200? Almost like running the red key. Is it a 13? Understand this, guys. 2012 is VKU1, 2013 is DZW3. So I would rather DZW3. The homie said, Brandon Horton said, went to Cars and Coffee yesterday, talked to another guy, said he did cat deletes and he had no codes. Just says, just be quiet when you talk to your tuner with someone that wears sunglasses too. Okay. So again, the front and rear O2 are always looking for a certain signal. And when there's a catalytic converter in between both of the O2s, it's going, yeah, there's a cat there. When you take the cat off, they go, there's not a cat there. P0420, P0430. But let's say you put something in the O2 or the O2 into something where it goes, there's a cat there, and it's not a cat. I can't be more clear than that without literally telling you what to do. Wow, overlap is a mechanical thing, thus the phasing. How else does chop subside when RPM increases? Think about it. My supervisor is a big GM guy, and once he heard my Gen 2 chopping on the ghost cam tune, he was so impressed. I told him I had aftermarket cams, and he took it. People leave London and go somewhere else because they think they know more than you guys. Coyote groups are filled with those guys. There is somebody who is chopping up the Street Alpha podcast videos, especially on the E85 one. And the 85 one, when I say to the guy, what does 85 mean to you? He goes, ethanol, 85%. I go, what's the 15? And he goes, everyone in the comments, duh, 93. I go, no, feckin' asshole. It's chicken gizzards and hot dog water, a.k.a. fucking 87, 85 octane junk. So instead of thinking it as E85, think of hot dog water 15. Would you run your car on hot dog water 30? All the fucking Honda guys. Oh, you can make the same horsepower on E70 as you can on E85. You can make the same horsepower on E50 as the fucking as E85. Okay. Forget the ethanol. Throw the ethanol away. 50% hot dog water. Hot dog water 50. Would you trust that on your $20,000, $30,000 engine? Hot dog water 50, pendejo? Nah, if you want to be Beaker and get your lab coat and get 93 and E85 and ensure the mix is E50, tell me when to go. But when you are at the pump, E60, cool story, hot dog water 40. Fuck you. Hot dog water, 90 degree extensions for no to be done. Hot dog water, DNA for the win. I love it how detailed Lund is in a ticket system, especially when there's a potential mechanical issue. You actually learn if you can take constructive criticism and build as a customer. Yeah. It should be called hot dog water 15 now. Exactly. Hot dog water 30. I'm sorry. I quit following. Yeah, I get it. Amory is gang gang. E40 for the win. I can't get better than E80 right now, so I'm 20%. Hot dog water. Let's do that. Let's stop referencing 50%, 60%, 70% ethanol, and let's start concentrating on the other shit. If you're getting it from the pump at 70%, if you are mixing 93 and E85, completely different ball game, you're good. But if you are seriously going out there and saying, I got 93 in the tank, I'm getting E70 from the pump, it's E50. There's 30% hot dog water in there. Alex, could you recommend a Boss 302 versus 11 to 12 GT500? No need to build the Boss if under 1,000 horsepower. Better computer, tune on Coyote. What blower would you... Guys, Coyote is God motor. Sorry, four valve guys. Coyote is king. You know this. You know this. This has been proven, especially the Boss 302. The Boss 302 needs at least an oil pump gear and a crank sprocket because that's stock. Everything else... leave that shit alone. Oil pump gear, crank sprocket, TSS, EDM cut, 20 pounds of boost, E85, fuck any GT500. I got very discouraged with my Paxton because at the time another tuner, lack of knowledge has me overspinning the blower. Alex, I had a dream last night about the dual throttle body in the 24GT and I realized it did it to have better control of the airflow. It's harder to get control of airflow with butterflies at high angles. Or it's an emissions thing. The 50% is just filler. They already sold you on the E85. Exactly. 30% hot dog water. Taking the trash 10R80 out and putting a built 4R70 in thoughts. Not a bad idea. Not a bad idea. It has to be built though. Built. And it's going to be a 3-speed with overdrive. So it's not going to be as good on a roll. Hot dog water 15, hot dog water 30, HDW 15, HDW 30. Alex, are you sure this is the peasant chat? Perhaps it's a DC's keys hour. I got 15% Mustang lifestyle. Good shit. What if the pump test at E98? Is it safe to run the E85 tune on it? Yes, it's just going to trim in about 7% fuel, which I would rather you send in a log on E98. I'll look at it. Guys, look at what happened today. We dialed in the notch on pump gas. I was going to video it, but I wanted to just concentrate on tuning. I didn't want to make it like, hey, now we're here at the... No. So we went to the turnpike, got ethanol there. And I did a 9.85 stoic in the fuel, in the tune, put it in. The bitch trimmed within 2%. I went, whoa, what? That's actually E85. We got the pump gas down to nothing. Put E85 in it, it's trimming within 1 or 2%. I went. So if you got E98, send me a log. And if it's like 1.05, 1.1, and we do a complete set of logs, I will add the fuel that it needs and it'll be happy. Not a problem. Q Perry 12 says, thanks for the help, brother. Whipple 10R4, four triple pump, forged bottom end, almost 1,200 horsepower. Your knowledge equals power for real badass. I love when people just have a goal and they achieve it with Lund tuning and they're happy and they enjoy their summer and they fucking go racing and they're just happy people. That's what I want. This gentleman today is ecstatic. Like, he's like, dude. And I was so happy for him because the project is finished. I was basically the cherry on top. He's like, bro, you did it. You finished my project. I finished the interior. I finished the sound system. I finished everything. And you come in and tune it in an hour and a half. Yeah. Craig Bilt says, what device is better, RTD or the LRX? It's not even close. It's like saying what's better, a hammer or a nail? The LRX. What size single turbo would you throw? I don't know. I don't know I don't know your efficiency island. I don't know if you're using a Garrett. I don't know if you're using a Hartz. I don't know if you're using a Precision. I don't know if you're using a Bullseye. 150,000 miles on a 14.50 upgrade, old pump gear, crank sprocket, risk pushing 700. I would not risk pushing 700. The rod's going to exit stage left. The Fitness Life says, tell these people not to put a Boss manifold on their Gen 3s. Right. Why would you do that? You have one. It's called the 18 manifold. The 18 manifold and the Boss manifold are the same. Maybe you want it to look a certain way. I guess I get that. I'm definitely late to the live, but a question on the chat is worth going ported 18 over ported Boss manifold and pairing it to the Paxson kit. It's the same thing. One just looks different. Fuck me. Boss have a standard manual. Boss have a standard manual. If so, just need a stage 3. Don't know what he's talking about. I don't know why OEMs say F you to the EPA, make what they're able to do. Can I be frank? Because they'll be put under. Unions are Democrat. Wait a minute. Where was it? There was a sound clip where the guy goes, unions are basically Democrat. And I was like, yeah, no shit. Unions are Democrat. There was a sound clip recently. Where is it? He goes, unions are basically Democrat. And I was like, what? Unions are basically Democrat in New York. Where is it? God damn it. The unions are basically Democrat in New York. Nah, I was looking for a sound clip where a guy goes, he admits it. He's a union leader. He goes, unions are basically Democrat. And I was like, yeah, no shit. Like, tell me something I don't know. 500 watching, 250 likes. Shame on the ghost watchers. They're probably ex-girlfriends. If you run E75 on E85.2, and I was told it would run rich slightly, does it work the other way around? As if you run lean E95 on an E85.2? Yes. That is actually Mendoza's Coyote. A very good question. And when you're saying lean, we're talking relatively lean, not like dangerously lean. What should a 1,200 horsepower build Gen 3 turbo 400 run full weight, decent suspension setup, E85 quarter mile? 880. 870. That's what Valley 10 speed runs. 870, 880. Frank, gotta play ball. It's politics, really. Boss 302 Red Key was way better throttle response and no fuel and deceleration. My Mach 1 sucks compared to my Boss 302. When I use the LRX, I feel like I'm forgetting something because it's so damn easy. And send logs. When you receive your LRX, you're going to be blown away that all you have to do is have an internet connection, click update, it updates. It sends. Now, the new firmware that we uploaded, you have to download your logs. Because you guys just, for some reason, overthought everything. So now, when you update your logs, you actually sync them to your computer. It'll say download logs, and you download your log. You can look at it and send us that log. But when it comes to the tune, hit update. The tune automatically syncs to your device. Flash your vehicle. That's it. Alice, give us all chumps a tier list of NA manifolds. Okay, so I've already said this a million times on any generation Coyote. Gen 1 Coyote manifold is trash. It feels good. It's zippy. It feels like it has good torque. A great upgrade is an 18 manifold like I did. Port it from 1320 Junkie if you want, but it doesn't have to be ported. But if you're going to get it ported, obviously, 1320 Junkie if you want to get it ported. Or a Boss manifold. That's it. Gen 1. If you want to upgrade your manifold, 18 manifold, ported or not. Boss manifold, ported or not. Do not go CJ. CJ is for guys that want to rev 8,300 RPMs and have a comp cam stage 3 cam in it. You need a cam in it to move the air the CJ needs. So it's over. But if you're going to go, which are the best high potential revving manifold is, CJ's number one. 18 and Boss are the fucking same. 350 is like right there. Hell, you could say Boss, 18, and 350 are the same. That's it. It's just how you want it to look under the hood. The brokest people have the most to say about who made it in life, what to do with their money. Okay, cool. A station near me test E98. I asked Decato. Do we have a guy named Decato in our fucking thing? If I could have a twofer, he said, no, thank you. Blue Oval. Log it first. Would you tell Valet 10 Speed to keep the 10R or go fast with the Turbo 400 and Centrifugal? He's a roll racer. Keep the 10R. He's a roll racer mostly. He doesn't drag race that much. He more roll races on the street than drag races. Holly Haram is better for NA. The Union equals Diddy Meek is in the big three. Hey, JD Swag, I need your help here. I came across a clip. JD Swag, are you here? Raise your hand, JD Swag, if you're here. I want to see you. If you're here, I want you to translate something from me because I was thinking of making this a sound clip and I need you to translate it for me because it sounds like it's fucking fire. But listen to this sound clip and tell me what the fuck this guy is saying because I want to make it a sound clip. Check this shit out. I don't know, that sounds so good. And they said they making it out the call center with this one. So what the fuck is he saying, JD Swag? I'll play it one more time for you because it's got a nice bop. He has to be saying something like in a loop, right? So if he could translate it for me, that'd be awesome. They're making it off the call center with that one. No, you did not play Meek Mill audio. Nasty. I bet they're rapping about selling extended warranties on 10R80. That was me when I uninstalled some red letter suspension parts today, replaced some drag coilovers. Basically said 10 on pump 5. It's cooking him up, PBD. I'ma steal your credit card. I'ma take your 401k. He's asking for the brown curry. Alex, what's your actual opinion on the Pro Charger? Last time you told me you throw it in the river. Yes, river, lake, or pond. Throw it right the fuck in there. Fuck Pro Charger. I'm not mincing words. I think in the English says, my Honda Gunna Vroom. With a name like JD Swag, I can't Google translate. Use Soundhound. Soundhound? Okay, Soundhound. What is Soundhound? Soundhound? What is Soundhound? Technology for a voice-enabled world. how do you use this? Discover AI solution. Oh, just click. I don't care. I'm done. I finished. I read three things. I'm like, is that a button? No more roll racing for me. Gonna stick to jig racing. I'm considering getting a Turbo 400 soon. Valley 10 Speed. Get yourself a close ratio 400. We'll talk about gear ratios. Don't go crazy yet. But you get yourself a 400. you could launch that bitch at 5,000 RPM. It's going to fucking bumper drag the bitch. Bro, get a cage though. The line is, I would never drive a Ram. He's explaining the difference between VCT and variable lav lift and how a K-Series has both. Thank you. Come again. No more. sorry, I'm 20 minutes behind on the stream, but the VTEC uses a third intake lobe. Yes, yes, yes. Blown away by Lund's new LRX. No regrets going with Lund. First tuner for my 14 and last Snuxo. We'll save it from the river. JD, we need you. He is saying sometimes he drinks a joint, sometimes rum that is going on the loop. Oh, so wait a minute. It sounds like he's saying it in English. It sounds like he's saying it in English, right? So he's saying the same shit. It sounds like it's fire, but it's probably the same word over and over. In the club, 50 Cent, I have a 1320 junkie for sale. I'm going to go supercharged. He has seen the light. I can't believe there are any Hindus on here. He's switching to dig racing because won't nobody roll race him. You know what's crazy about Valley 10 Speed? Humble seems. But he's the kind of guy that leans into the smoke. You know, there's people. I used to. But I'm still, at 46, I'm still a little hot-blooded to lean into the smoke. But there are people that sit there and they can lean into the smoke and have like no emotion. They're like, I'm outside. Come race this shop car. Like it's his car. Like when people say, oh, you're gonna want to race a shop car versus my street car. Pendejo, it's his shop. It's his car. It's like me saying, poverty, you know, poverty garage built GT500. Oh, I don't want to race a shop car. It's my car. He was telling you where to go. It's honestly not that bad. How the fuck do you drink a joint? Make that a sound clip. If you want to fight, make sure you have guts is what he starts with. If you want to fight, make sure you have guts is what he starts with. Really? If you want to fight, make sure you have the guts. Pukarna pula something hecky cum. Bro, I need the translation. And then I'm gonna have Carol Shelby. I'm going to have Carol Shelby. I'll get the instrumental. And then I'll have Carol Shelby going, you know, when I go fast, I like the chewing gum. You know, like something stupid like that. You kicked my dog. Love my guy to Valley 10 Speed. If it ain't chopping like a motherfucker, it ain't where shit said. I think he called me today trying to scam me to pay the IRS. I bet Valley 10 Speed likes to squabble. You'll love a built turbo 400 Valley 10 Speed. Diddy says, how my idea, aside from choosing someone else, so you can be Luntuned by proxy. I seriously don't see why you'd choose anyone else. Right. Especially on this platform. I bet Valley 10 Speed holds the door open for strangers at the bank. I'm a truck driver and I'll ask a random Arab, what the fuck is he saying? Better watch out. Diddy gonna go come in your bum. Whoa. Hecky come. Yeah. He says something, something. Hecky come. Yeah. It bops. It's fucking good. I'm feeling you have the type of brain that allows you to freestyle. You pick up beats really quick. Yeah. Yes. Yeah, believe it or not, I do. But I just don't want to do that live because, you know, that I'll be embarrassed. Mix that with the Pussy Red song. Right. Pussy Red. Pussy Turn. I can't even play that. Gymnastic. Now the pussy dead. I can't do that. Karna mukalaba dakara. Wait, karna muka. Okay. Oh, karna muklaba daraki dum ve? What? Come on. Turvy intro music, please. Is he here? Is he here? He's not here. If I can get John Jr. to remake that, go. If you can get John Jr. to remake that, it'd go viral. What's up, Bato? How much horse do you need in an S95 to stay neck and neck with a 600 horse coyote car? High 500s, mid 500s. Alex, forward me the file on email. I'll translate it to you, and then you can have anyone sing it. My man. I did. Wait. Fuck it. Mandip Singh. Mandip. Mandip. To Mandip. 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 Hey, email me. Why don't I have you here? I thought I have you here. Mandip. It's actually a good song. It's like saying Mandip. Like, Mandip. Mandip. There you go, Mandip. Mandip. Indian song. And then copy, paste. There you go. Have at it, brother. Translate it for me, and I'll get after it with Carol Shelby. Matt 211, thanks for the $10. I'm going to roll up in Lethal's car. That'll phone your boss if I lose. So it's good. So is this song going to be replaced the OG Indian song now? I don't Valley, really? My mini me, Cuban Coyote, B58. Can we do the mashup with Puffy and Daddy? Wait a minute, it matches. Oh my god, the beats per minute match the Diddy getting clapped. So this is how my brain works, right? So Meek Mill goes So you gotta go like yeah, I can do it. Oh yeah, oh yeah, no problem. I mean, no problem. Oh yeah, I could do on a loop with this beat. See, I'm gonna have to be up till fucking midnight though. I ain't doing that. Fuck all that. This is the gayest fucking mashup I've ever done in my life. Boy though, it matches. I need the instrumental. Fuck. It absolutely matches like a certain beats per minute. It's like the same beat. Dude, I'm sweating. I could probably make it happen. Oh my god, that's so much work. God, it'd be the gayest shit ever. We'll see. I'll have some coffee and think about it. See if I could just get on and make it. Because I can make some pretty creative shit. Same beat. So the song is 190 beats a minute too then. Did I just hear that shit on beat? I joined late, but who's the OG spitting straight fire on the ones and twos? Keep that OG song. I was in the back and that shit made me run to the front. The butt to note ratio is right on with the Indian guy. You won't sleep if you don't do it. Oh, hell no. Can you make it through a live without playing Diddy? I don't know. It's so good. That Philly comes out. I can't say it because, yeah, I'm not comfortable. Valley finally went 8. I'm proud. Be going Turbo 400, Cuban Coyote, Arab Music, and no Arab Money, Busta Rhymes. You could even do Phil Collins in the Air of the Night at 190 beats a minute. I got a 2011 Mustang GT at 43,000 miles, saying anything to keep an eye on. A specific mod you do right away, Sway Rodriguez. Look at my build series on the 2013 GT. Mimic that to a T. Meek Mill wanted to come at 6'9", but he was getting clapped from the back like FKA. Email me sound clips. I'll get it done before Tuesday's show. No. I want to work on it. I it's in my head. I have a hip-hop mind background, and I'll be able to do a good job. DJ D-Bag Alex, the new alter ego. DJ D-Bag on the ones and twos. All right, guys, I'm going to get out of here. Today we talked about recapping some of the 18 manifold testing that I did on the 13 GT. Awesome, awesome stuff. We talked about Ford losing billions of dollars on EVs, surprising absolutely nobody. We recap some of the stuff, the Camel title tune, the Coyote swap, Notch, Hush Money, the old motor lives on in a insanely beautiful, capable, awesome manual Notch street car that I will be reviewing soon. Hopefully he lets me borrow it one weekend. I just need it on a Saturday morning, Papa. I got it. I'll do 60 to 130. I'll do fours 60 to 130 in that bitch. And you're going to be like, oh my God, this thing is absolutely ridiculous. I'm out of here. I'll see you guys on Tuesday afternoon, Tuesday night, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I will try to do my best to get you video content, maybe updating E85 stuff. Probably not tomorrow. I like letting these two videos percolate. By the way, everybody that watched the video that I put up today in the morning, thank you so much. 5,000 views doesn't seem like a lot, guys, but every single time that 5,000 in conjunction with this, by Monday it's 10, 12, 13, 15,000, and it just really helps in a cumulative effort get some eyes, ears, and it just spreads nicely on the channel. I'll try to do my best to get everything going and keeping the content coming. About 4 to 5 videos a week seems to be the norm all through the summer. And in the wintertime, obviously, I'll try to get you more because that's when we go racing here. Have a good rest of your night. I'll see you guys on Tuesday. See you guys later. Bye.